Item number four is a subdivision rezoning for 444 Grassy Boulevard under file DASZ 34 of 2010, and in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw. This is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item number five is a variance for 444 Grassy Boulevard under file DAV 167749 of 2010D.
Okay, thank you. I have registered as the applicant and representing the applicant, so I don't know how you gentlemen want to handle this. Do you wish to the representative speak, or both of you come up? Why don't both of you come forward, Bernard Gertsen and Michael Shaughnessy. All right, welcome again.
Councilors.
Good day. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm honestly not sure where to go with this. The Community Committee in January laid the matter over. It was since laid over again. And the administration was asked to provide some conditions should you decide to approve our application. And I was sent a letter by the city, and its reply was the administration refused to amend its report. I think you asked that should you decide to approve it, which they recommended, you wanted some conditions to allow something to happen in a certain way, and I couldn't believe the answer you got, that tough. So the administration was in favor. I don't know who's here today, but I do know members of the neighborhood came out last time and were all in favor. No one was opposed. I don't know if there's any opposition today.
There's a couple or one, yeah.
Okay, so I could speak in rebuttal to that.
Yeah.
But what you asked for last time, I wrote, just changing a couple words that was in there, and you could approve it subject to just what you said about a proceeding by local improvement and that a temporary bulb be made for a turnaround. And that's what you asked them to put in writing. They didn't. Well, some of us have done this an awful lot of times. So I put it in writing. I'd like to provide it to the clerk so everybody can have a copy, including one for the planner. And it's not very complex.
Thanks.
But it was similar to the wording that the clerk provided from your last meeting, except instead of asking them to write how to do it, I just put it in. Recommendations 210 and 18 be amended to require that the city advertise local improvements to provide a full range of services in Grassy Boulevard to the eastern limit of the subject property, and that the two newly created lots along Grassy Boulevard not become buildable sites until the local improvements are approved and constructed. And a second one, that recommendation 9 be amended so as to require a temporary bulb be constructed at the eastern end of Williamson Crescent within the 60-foot right-of-way to allow for a vehicle turning area. If you approved it with those conditions, nothing could happen unless the safety were taken into account. I'd just like to remind committee from the last time I was here that this is more housing is needed. I found out since that the River East Transcona School Division actually down 900 students in the last 4 years. Housing is needed in the area, and the request from the administration, Mr. Gerson wants to build 10 houses on Williamson and 2 on Grassy. 12 lots to be created. The report that would have him front-ending. First of all, if he built the turn, which the report said, coming Williamson and turning it up to Grassy, would take up the 2 lots that he'd be creating. He'd be down from 12 to 10. So he'd be, this cost is then as much as he could, or more than he could sell the 10 lots for. Just building that road to full city center. And then it's still in there to do Grassy. If he put Grassy in from the corner of Silver Fox, but
Silverfield,
Silverfield, to the eastern end of his property, if he put in the full range of services for the two lots he's getting, even with the 10, he would have to sell those lots for about $500,000 apiece to break even. I mean, if you build Grassy to major collector width with 8-inch concrete, which is mentioned, and you put in the sidewalks, the boulevards, the street lighting, the storm sewer, the land drainage sewer, the water for all those houses, he'd be in millions of dollars. None of those people are going to rezone their homes or anything to ever pay them back any of it. So to build two lots, he'd have to put in well over $1 million, a few million. And then with the other clause, they'd take away the two lots. So he'd have no lots if he turned Williamson up to the end. It's the city's direction is for the compact urban form, infill rather than urban sprawl. This is existing street. This is infill. Somebody hasn't got the message throughout the bureaucracy, because this, and there's a couple other things I'm working on now, where the costs are more than what you can realize from the property gross, never mind make a profit. Why? We need the housing. The administration is all in favor of the housing. It's a great idea. But the houses that exist on Williamson, it dead-ended. They didn't have to do anything. Nothing. Mr. Gertsen has offered to build a bulb, a proper turnaround, and then as the street develops further, at some point you are going to have to turn up to Grassy as more and more houses get done. The people who own the houses further up Grassy in the land want this to pass. They want to continue with it. But the only way to make it possible, where he wouldn't be paying for two lots or zero lots, millions of dollars, is to do it by local improvement. And the only way to pass that is to get the city to advertise it. If 60% of the people representing 60% of the frontage are opposed, it won't happen anyway, and he won't get his lots. That's fine. The 10 on Williamson with a bulb, he can do it. And these are the things you suggested to the administration. Thank you, Shirley. These things you had suggested to the administration at the meeting in January, and they say we refuse to amend our report. You didn't ask them to amend. You asked them to give conditions to make this possible should you decide to go in that direction. Well, I've taken the liberty of putting that in writing to give you that opportunity, and I would like to answer any questions, and if there are indeed people in opposition, I'll come back and try to answer what they say.
I just have I have one question. Were you here on the regular agenda start of tonight? You're probably aware of this. One of the neighbors on the street has initiated, worked quite hard, initiating to do the local improvement for the water and the sewer down the street, so on Grassy. So we, as a community committee, already moved that an ally be advertised for water and sewer on the street.
Great.
So that's done.
Well.
And that's Ad, and I was... I misinformed the resident at the time. He's still in the room. I'm glad he still came back. That the ad, and George Wallach is right here right now, is the ad is actually going out at the end of this month, March the 28th. So residents are going to be receiving it. And then, you know, the water and
Mr.
sewer.
Mr. Gertsen will not oppose it, I assure you. If it goes on beyond the eastern edge, that is just wonderful. The only reason he suggested the wording to the eastern edge of his property is because he didn't want something that he has nothing to do with ending up turning down. But believe me, if they're advertising for it, he will sign. He wants that to happen very much. So the only condition in the approval you'd have to put in is subject to the local improvement being approved, people not turning it down, and the number two, that he'd be able to put in the temporary bulb. He can't build a permanent street and turn it up.
That's still not a full range of municipal services to allow for.
Well, these people think if they put in the sewer water, they're going to be able to subdivide their land.
So do people on Knowles.
Yeah, and if that's not, I've recommended here the full range up to the eastern edge. If you want to go with partly further on down, if you want to allow or not allow subdivision at that point, believe me, Mr. Gertz is not standing in anybody's way or suggesting what you could do. All he can speak for, or have me speak for, is his own property. And he is willing to support all of the allies. If you want to go with a partial range, if that still allows him to build his two houses, he's delighted to have less. But you know what? And that makes a cheaper house for people to buy and young families to move in that area. So I think I'm talking to the converted Councillor Broad. I think you made these same arguments a while back.
But he didn't get his...
Well, there's much better councillors there than there were then, I'll tell you.
Public record on that one, Councillor.
And the second point, though, is imperative. You can't go five more houses along each side and have the same cutoff that was allowed for when Qualico built those eight houses. It needs a turnaround. It'd be dangerous without it. But a temporary bulb, because as Grassy goes further east with services, Williamson is going to want to go further, and at some point it will turn up. But when there's the, with the economies of scale, with enough houses along it, it can be paid for. And it's also a safety requirement. It must be. But believe me, there's lots of nine-house-deep cul-de-sacs in the city of Winnipeg, and there's no need. The point is, I guess my basic point, I'll wrap up now, is the conditions put in by the administration don't take into account the economics. It would be physically impossible to do the development with what's asked for, turning the street up, losing two more lots, paving it to city standards, and then paying for all the local improvement, all the development in Grassy, and they ask for a full range of services. We're talking, at that distance down to the cross street, millions of dollars for now no lots, because there wouldn't be one lot left. You'd have to build another road from the end of Williamson up to Grassy, which would take out his two lots.
Councillor Bawadi has another question.
Thank you, Mr. O'Shaughnessy, Councillor O'Shaughnessy. It's former Councillor night, I think, at BJT here.
Only three of us.
Yeah, I know.
I get what you're saying in terms of nobody wants, isn't going to want to have William to pay for Williamson to reconnect, 444. None of these residents are going to want to have the land or the street that cuts back to Grassy on their property because they lose a lot of buildable lot space.
Can I be honest and tell you how you can do it?
Yeah.
I railed against this so much when I was on council. Bill Clement created something. Everybody who wanted to develop along had to put money away for the Ridgewood Corridor. If you had a levy per lot of, say, $5,000 or $4,000, and no, I don't have clearance here, but if you had a levy that could go into a fund that could be held to a point when it does go up, that every home built along there had to contribute whatever, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. Now the problem with this is your own laws for the city say you can't lay this over today. You've laid over 2 months, you have to make a decision today, yay or nay. And but to create amount to be determined,
yeah, I mean,
could be done in your motions, and that way you could set it aside, and by the time you've got another 20 lots on there, you got enough money to turn it up.
There are some wise people on the Property Development Committee here today, so they might be able to modify it yet.
Making my suggestions. But I say, the community has come out in the past in favor of this. The planner's report is all in favor of this. It's only the conditions in the ACG report which bear, I'm sorry, Kim, you only assemble them. You don't put the clauses together, the wish list together. But it's like they don't have any connection with reality. You want a lot that you can sell for $100,000. You've got to do $1 million worth of improvements. But we do want infill lots. This is nuts.
Last question I have, Mr. Chairman here. I'm trying to remember from the last time, it was 2 months ago, was there a requirement that the water and sewer had to be looped back?
Well, so you don't loop sewer, you loop water.
You loop water.
And if there was looping of water that had to be done, as long as he gets his 12 lots, looping the water back along Grassy, where it comes back in, to the existing water, from Williamson up and around,
an easement, whatever needs
he
to
would
be, done
be willing to do that. That would not be...
And that's already in the recommendation.
You shouldn't do that. You'd be really putting the homeowners at risk if you didn't have the looped water.
Right.
You couldn't have fire hydrants.
Okay.
All of the property that you're talking about in terms of development, you have an option on lot 444, is that correct, on Grassy? That's...
Yes, and the Williamson lands are the lands at the back of 444.
Right, yes,
Grassy. It's all one piece of land, and the original home would stay with the original homeowners unless
right.
they decide to move on, and they've agreed to it, obviously, or he couldn't be doing this.
Right. And the 444, so the 12 lots you're referring to, two on Grassy, 10 on Williamson, correct?
Right, five on each side of Williamson.
Five on each side of Williamson. And there's, I count 16 lots now, so that'd be a total of 26 lots on Williamson once it's all done.
I believe there's
16.
Eight.
I count eight on either side, yeah.
No.
That's what I count, but I could be wrong. From McClellan through to the end right now.
From where?
From McClellan on Williamson through to the end, I count.
Yeah, but there's a cross street.
Yeah, that's what I mean. McClellan's a cross street. So.
Okay, so I thought there were four on each side. I've traveled it.
No, there's, I've got the aerial here, Mike. One, two, three, four, seven.
Oh, there's the Qualico ones from before, 14, 14, which got 14, approved. 16, with
16. Yeah, 16. Yeah. And so this would add another 10, so it'd be 26
yeah.
instead of 16. So
it's 13 long
right.
instead of 9 long.
With, right.
But there is a 60-foot right-of-way.
Yeah.
And you can do a turnaround bulb within,
yeah.
although the... what was drawn by the city showed boulevards on it.
Yeah.
This is an asphalt turnaround, folks. This is
you could
permanent.
Do one of those hammerhead ones.
No, you could. There's room to do a full
right?
turnaround,
okay.
and they would be sort
they
of up to the edge
front.
Of the driveway on the end homes he'd build, and
right.
he understands that.
Right.
And so would the
you
people
know
buying
that.
It, because it has
that.
To be there first.
You would know that going in. You just wouldn't have much
yeah.
of a front driveway or front yard, right, exactly.
Well, the front yard wouldn't be hurt, but the front drive would be right to the edge of the driveway on the bulb if you went the full 60 feet. Which allows a car to drive up, turn, and drive back.
Yeah, okay, all right. No, fair enough. I mean, the challenge today is exactly what you're referring to. Now, I guess if this community committee were to approve, go forward with an approval saying, and by the way, I heard the other delegations this morning, or earlier today, I should say, regarding the LI, and my impression is nobody has the impression if they do it's wrong. But I didn't hear anything saying that they have the impression they can subdivide. The whole issue is they're tired of their tanks
yeah.
filling up and overflowing, and they just want to have water and they want to have sewer. And
but
it's
with Williamson issues. There, it, they can afford some of the alternatives.
Fair enough.
Those who want. I mean, if somebody wants to keep their big, deep, old, semi-rural lot, nobody can take it away from them.
Right.
I mean, that's fine. But yeah. The next person who I have talked to wants to leave off some of the back lots, it can be done.
As you know, this community committee only has the power to recommend. Council decides. So
well,
this as you're,
community,
as you're, as
this
you're aware,
community committee
as you're aware,
rules.
So, well, you know.
The only committee is still in touch with your roots.
in the event that it goes forward and we do a scenario where, you know, the issue of the road, the temporary road is struck, right? So it's a bulb. And then we say, right, you have water, so you can subdivide on those. Considering the argument you've made that they're infill in terms of the existing properties, we're not talking about, you know, down at the end. So, you know, it'll go forward. If the committee approves that, it would go forward as a recommendation. However, you know as well as I do from your experience that the public service will have a say and kick of the cat when the
yeah,
time comes.
And no one else
and
can
so,
speak.
Yeah, so
not
anyway.
Not excited about that, but property committee.
Yeah, right.
Has a great chair, and who sits on EPC as well. So I'm sure.
Okay.
If there's a will,
yeah,
it will happen.
Well,
and there'll be affordable new housing for young families in that area. And Mr. Gerson builds affordable housing.
Yeah.
Like we're talking, not 450,000. We're talking significantly under three. And there's just nobody else builds new homes. Detached homes for that kind of money in Winnipeg.
I see the point of view of the administration too, right? I mean, I guess I see the point of view in this sense. I mean, the challenge here, and Mr. Gertensen is well aware, is that the reason why that you don't have any these lots haven't been subdivided is because of the issue of services. And the issue is, of course, assembling enough land to bring the services in and make it affordable. You quite rightly pointed out, Wade, that $500,000, whatever the cost is to put Portland concrete cement on grassy to the full standard the city wants. The challenge, of course, is that, you know, you can't, is doing, when you're doing something piecemeal like this, where you're doing one large lot, right, it's hard to do it versus going in, and it takes more work, it takes more time, it takes more energy to assemble land, to continue heading east, to assemble land, and to do the proper land assembly, to do a proper development with all of this full range
if
of services,
I may.
Right? So I see both sides.
Yeah.
So
infill development is not convenient. It's convenient.
It's always a challenge.
Genstar, Ladco, or Qualico to go out there and have 640 acres. Phase one is 100 acres. Put it in and sell their lots. But infill, it may not be convenient, but it's right, and it's the city policy. And if it's a little more more work, well, it's worth it. And the city gets a lot more taxes with no more costs. You don't need more police, you don't need more fire, you don't need more ambulances, you don't need, the school board doesn't need a new school, they got the vacancies now. There's no extra cost for the city, but there's more taxes in there. The only thing you do is the garbage pickup. So it's a good deal for the city and a good deal for the citizens and for me.
All right, well, you guys will have a chance to come back up again in a minute. Is there anything else, Mr. Gerson, you want to say at this point? No? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll have a chance then. All right. Registered in support as well, Cease Notley. Welcome back.
Yeah, Cease Notley, 498 Grassy Boulevard, and I'm definitely all for the subdivision.
Okay.
And that'll give me another 200 feet for my for my petition, so, you know.
Okay.
That's it. Well, I'm just.
You heard what I mentioned earlier?
Well, I did hear that. Okay. Unfortunately, I had to take my wife to another meeting, so I wasn't here to hear the good news. But,
no, but Mr. Halak is here.
Yeah.
He can give
well,
you information.
I'm sure he will.
Too,
yeah.
So, yeah, for
and,
sure.
And one thing I have to say, the support and I got from the city of Winnipeg, the different departments I dealt with, and just tremendous. If one guy didn't have an answer, he got somebody to phone me. So in the eight different departments I dealt with in this petition, every one of them were very, very good. So
glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Cease. Thank you. Any questions? No?
No.
Okay. Anybody else registered in support that I haven't recorded? I have some folks registered for information and one registered in opposition. Anybody else registered in support? You do not register. Seeing none, I'm going to move on to the registered in opposition. Barry Young, registered in opposition. Mr. Young, if you could come forward. State your name and address because it's all being recorded.
My name is Barry Young. I live at 470 Grassy Boulevard, and I'm not really in opposition. I was at one of those moments when I ticked both.
Okay.
There are several questions that I have here.
Okay. The planner can make a note.
The first one is, the city says no more than 105 meters without a road. And this new deal by Mr. Gertsen is going to make it to 180 meters with a bulb. What happens when Mr. Gertsen comes to me and says he wants to buy my land? Are we going to be putting in then another bulb? Like, how far can a road go without an access is my one question.
Okay.
Another one is, if this does go through, will the posts that are now blocking Williamson off be moved onto my property line on Williamson? That is another thing. Another thing that's come to mind is I didn't know until my good neighbor, Mrs. Whitfield, pointed out she's being charged an extra $600-something a year for taxes because she's accessible to sewer and water, which means if this deal goes through, I'll be subject to the extra money or on my back lots on Williamson. without being able to access the water.
That's not right.
Okay. Another one is on these bulbs. What do they do with snow removal when they get to the end of the bulb? What do they do with the snow with 180 feet push? That's just, you know, and I'm definitely not against this. I wish Mr. Gertsen, well, maybe not Mr. Gertsen, because I wouldn't want to wait 7 or 8 years. But maybe somebody could come and approach me. Yes, I'd be willing to sell. That's just about all that I have to say.
Okay. Maybe I can get the public service to answer the questions now while you're still here.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to take a best stab at it.
Thank you, Councillor. I have to say, Mr. Young hits a nail on the head. And in response to his questions, the report says no more than 105 meters, which is about 330 feet or so for the length of a cul-de-sac. That's an item in the City of Winnipeg Transportation Standards Manual as a recommendation as relates to fire paramedic services and the length of a dead-end street. In case there's a blockage on the street, you know, if you've got 600 or 700 feet of street and there's a stalled car or a car catches on fire but somebody has a heart attack at the end of the street, you're mitigating the length of distance that is unavailable to an emergency vehicle. This application would make that length about 600 feet, and hence our recommendation in consultation with the Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Service that there be a secondary access. And if I can also address the applicants had expressed a concern with this from a financial perspective. It is what it is. These are the city's recommendations, and there it is. The posts that currently exist at the end of the existing terminus of Williamson Crescent, if it is a cul-de-sac turnaround scenario at the end of the new street, those posts or something similar, depending on how it's constructed, if it's constructed to actually look like a standard residential cul-de-sac turnaround, there may not be a need for something like that, but if there is a need for something to identify that's the end of the road,
well,
it would be installed in the right of way, just right adjacent to your property. It would not actually be on your property. It would be in the street right of way adjacent. The additional assessment of $650, I think the amount, I'm not aware of that. It's something we should investigate and see what that really means and if it is applicable. And that would come from the city's assessment department, which is an entirely different part of the city organization. And they have their own approach to valuing property. And we'd have to explore that with them to see if that's the case. So I apologize, I can't answer beyond that for that one. The cul-de-sac bulbs and what do you do with the snow is again a very good question. The city's standard normal cul-de-sac design has an overall 35 meter diameter, which is about 110 feet, 120 feet in diameter. And that allows for a 50-foot pavement turning radius. And then there are boulevards, 17.5-foot wide boulevards around there for snow storage. So that's the city standard cul-de-sac design. And in the event that a cul-de-sac is recommended tonight, our recommendation in that regard is that the main street pavement, which is 25 feet wide, that it be extended through to the end of the right-of-way, and then that asphalt wings or paved surface wings be added onto the sides to make a paved turnaround surface suitable for fire equipment apparatus. And if you can picture, I don't know how long a fire truck with its ladders, et cetera, you know, might be 60 feet long or 70 feet long. Mm-hmm. There has to be adequate room for that vehicle to turn around. And the fire paramedic service recommends that a minimum pavement radius of 15 meters, which is 50 feet. Now, that means a 100-foot turnaround. There might be something wrong. But what they're after, basically, are the dimensions of a standard city residential cul-de-sac in order for them to maneuver. Even in that situation, they kind of have to do a three-point turn in there, but they can turn around. So, again, as far as the applicant's second bullet to request consideration that all that happened within the 60-foot right-of-way cannot possibly fit within the 60-foot right-of-way. The fire paramedic service will not back up their 60 or 70-foot long apparatus 600 feet to get out of that situation.
Okay. So
thank you.
You're welcome. You're going to have a question?
No, don't worry.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Barry?
No. Okay. Just about answers the whole evening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Anybody else registered in opposition or who didn't fill out a form? Seeing none, I'm going to move on for information. Harry Lowen, registered for information. Harry, you got it? Okay. And also register for information, Norma.
Hi. Norma Whitfield, 444 Grassy Boulevard. I understood all the information that was given out by you people, but what I need more information on is something that Mr. O'Shaughnessy just slid over. And maybe I made a mistake on my interpretation. But he said he had prepared something there, and he gave you people copies. And he seemed to indicate that he wanted to go ahead with building the houses at the back and leave the two houses at the front until sewer and water was put in by the city. Is that what he has written there? That was the interpretation I got.
What he gave us was two recommendations that he's suggesting, and one of them is to say that, as you say, the cul-de-sac on Williamson, to accommodate a cul-de-sac versus a road going through your land, and then the other item to allow for the two lots on beside your house on Grassy, that those two lots be allowed only upon the completion of a local improvement. But a local improvement, what he's referring to, correct, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, is water, sewer, and also local improvement on the Portland concrete cement roadway upgrade. So it'd be all three of those.
If Mr. Gertson builds houses at the back, it takes my septic field. I have a septic tank with a field because we have 2 acres. If he builds back there, I would have to, until the city put sewer and water down the front, I would have to put in a holding tank, right, because my septic field would be where he was building. Mr. Kurtzen's contract with us does not allow him to do anything on our property until that sewer and water goes down the front, so that we can hook up to sewer and water.
You've answered your own question then, to a certain extent.
I thought maybe I had misinterpreted what he...
Well, that'd be a question you should ask him, though, directly, I would
okay.
suggest.
Okay, that's what I need for information.
Okay,
thank you very much.
No problem, thank you. Anybody else register for information? No? Okay, I'll invite the applicant and his representative back, and if they could address some of these issues that have been heard.
Just a couple of points. Firstly, as Kim had said, the 25-foot pavement plus wings is exactly what he wants to build. He has it drawn out. He wouldn't stop the road because the houses come to the end. So it would be a normal full pavement to the end, and it'd be the asphalt with stabilization for the rounding of the bulb. So that, as for the septic field, the agreements that they have between themselves cover that. Secondly, when you're building a full sewer, water, storm sewer, boulevard, lighting, sidewalks, everything to the end of Williamson, it's right behind her house. And that's, he could arrange to hook her up to that sewer and she could have her sewer and water. But that's between them. So it can come up from behind the house as easily as from the front of it. But of course, Mr. Gertson wants the pavement in Grassy. He wants everything to go ahead. But Williamson, nothing was in Grassy, and it's already got a bunch of houses, and he just wants to extend it. But he certainly wouldn't build over the lady's septic field, and she'd have to put in a hold. That would never, and they have that covered in their agreement already, so it's not an important point in that way. As for the neighbor, nobody be putting posts on his property, and if he wants to come with an application, I mean, that's nothing stops it. And like I say, Mr. Gertson would be willing to contribute toward on a per lot basis toward extending Williamson either to a cross street that goes in or turning it back to Grassy. And he's not objecting to the extension of the local improvement if the other people want more. He just wants to be what he is, a small developer and house builder, and provide housing and employ people and make a buck. But to say that the bulb has to be 135 feet, I don't know if I've ever seen one that's 135 feet. I've seen lots of temporary turnarounds, and you know what? Fire trucks with ladders, the 60-foot, like a semi-trailer, the real, don't come to house fires, folks. It's the 30-foot, 20-foot, 30, 35-foot truck that comes, and you're going to have 18 turnarounds. Every driveway is a turnaround. Believe me, if an emergency comes, they can turn around in anybody's driveway, the ambulances, which is what they're talking about. There's no, you can't turn around in my driveway because my neighbor had a heart attack. But of course not. So you've got the big bulb at the end, but you've also got driveways for every single home along the way. And you don't bring ladder trucks to house fires. And you don't have house fires anymore in new houses anyway, but you certainly don't bring the ladder truck and get up on high to do it there. So I think that's a moot point. And once again, cover your behind. Everything must be absolutely perfect. Well, then we won't have any. It'll be, you got three developers left in Winnipeg. You got Qualico, Ladco, and Genstar, and you're all going to have spread the bald prairie out to Selkirk. You've got a fresh point of view, and we've got a lot of experience here. I'm sure you can handle it.
Sure. Any questions? Question quickly. When you were speaking, and the arrangement that your client has between himself and Ms. Whitfield at 444 Grassy is your business, but I'm assuming that the issue, there has to be some clarification there in terms of the issue of the sewer and water hookup.
It's covered in the agreement. If she lost her septic field without having the alternative of the sewer to hook up to, their agreement would be null and void.
Okay.
I've been assured that by Mr. Gertzen while she was speaking.
Okay.
She has to, he has to, he can't build until she gets the sewer connection, or he can.
He can't subdivide the back property until that's looked after. Okay. All right. All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Right on. Thank you. Okay. I'd like to move. Could you take the chair?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'd like to move that the reports of the Winnipeg Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'd like to move the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'd like to move that the Winnipeg Service recommendation be concurred in with the following amendments. I'd like to amend that a temporary bulb be required at the end of Williamson, that the temporary road that has been proposed to run north from the end of Williamson through part of lot 444 not be proceeded with, that a temporary bulb of reasonable size, which would have to be sorted out on the footage in the diameter, be proposed, be implemented. That would be the first
reasonable size?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, a temporary bulb that you see under with most cul-de-sacs. The other recommendation amendment I'd like to make is that the two lots on Grassy be subject to the LI, which is now being proceeded with. I realize that's not full range of municipal services based on the city's definition, but you have the challenge here of trying to develop this land. I want to say that you look at the remaining parcel of the lands to the east, and there is no doubt in my mind that there's not going to be any more of these kind of have-offs like this, that it's going to have to take the direction of going all the way, probably right up to the last property owner, up to the city right-of-way that the city owns, to develop the remaining back portions of the land as well as the front portions of the land. And at that time, I think Grassy would have to be addressed. So I think it's it's incumbent. I just want the message to the applicant, to the developer, that I hope he, with the faith the committee is showing tonight, if the motion passes, that is pursued, and that something comes out of that in the future. Let me just finish making my comments, Mr. Chairman. you are the chair, so when it comes to the issue of the services, this is a fully paved street with asphalt pavement, not like you see on what we call type 2 gravel roads, like on other parts of the city. The person who paved it is in the room here tonight. She got it done and it's paved right through to Plessy. And it's not Portland concrete cement, which the administration likes, but I recall, I don't know if it was the term before that, when we as a community committee with the administration support subdivided lands on Grassy Boulevard just on the other side of La Gimodier from the site, allowing for a subdivision of land with water and sewer only. They do not have Portland concrete cement between Molson and La Gimodier, but those homes went in, and we approved that with the administration's blessing at that time. So you can tell I don't go to church enough, I have to think about that one. But anyway, so I appreciate one of my colleagues is, he's got a challenge, and he knows that I've always been extremely supportive of his cause in terms of Knowles and the challenges there. Two wrongs will make a right, and two rights do make a right. And I've always stood with him on those issues, and I know it will be a challenge going forward. I know the public service will have this challenge as well as we go forward with this, but you know, I can't see it continuing. Like, I think this is it, you know, on the street. Like, it just can't continue down here without having the full range of municipal services. But to get this done, and because I think it's crucial, and the other reason here, which is unique, I don't remember a time when we had the community at the same time as an application kind of coming together the way it's come together in terms of the local improvement, which I think is really unique. The LI will definitely improve the quality of life for the existing residents who live on Grassy right now, in terms of the fact that, as you mentioned, you have septic tanks or septic fields. I grew up with a septic field on Elmy Avenue, and I can tell you that it was a mess at many times because of our wonderful clay soil and clay conditions and the amount of water we're getting. And some of you, sounds like you have the honor of having the honey truck come every once in a while to pump it out, and of course it's not ideal. I mean, this is stuff which is, you know, belongs in two centuries ago, not in the city of Winnipeg. And so you're clearly attempting to raise your standard of living by bringing in city water, so you're not relying on well water, which we know, depending on well conditions and aquifer conditions, can be problematic, especially in a city setting, and with regards to the sanitary situation. The link between this application and the work the city's done with Mr. Notley and with the residents in terms of the LI, I think, is quite unique. I haven't seen this with an application, and I wouldn't want to jeopardize the work with regards to local improvement by coming in and saying, oh, full level of services come heck or high water in case of just two lots. And I guess I appeal to the members of the committee here to keep that in mind as we deal with this, and the fact we are raising the standard of living for the rest of the residents there by facilitating this way of doing it. So those are my words, and I'll move that motion with the amendments, Mr. Chairman, and the supporting reasons I've given.
All right, so. Councilor Thomas, do you have any comments to add to this?
Not really, but I...
The amendments and the motion.
Agree very
much. Should we already deal with the amendment, or are they...
Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering if we can get clarification on specifically what the Council's intention is to amend. Is it essentially to go with the motion?
No, the motion, except his change that he had item one, is not to advertise the full range of services, advertise the LI that's going forward with the water and the sewer, which is already underway. So subject to the two lots would be subject to approval of the LI for the water and sewer.
The two lots on Grassy?
Right. Yes.
So essentially the only change then that you're making is to have the bulb turn around?
The bulb on Williamson.
And the two lots?
Temporary bulb on Williamson, and the two lots subject to
the LI.
Approval of the LI on Grassy.
So the establishment of the two lots is only subject to the approval of the LI?
Which is now going forward, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So if the LI doesn't go forward, those two lots don't happen, is what
correct.
You're saying?
That is correct, yes.
Is that clear?
We understand what the councillor's motion is passing. We just want to point out, and we'll probably end up pointing this out at Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development, that would be contrary to Plan Winnipeg and requiring a full range of municipal services. That's our comments, unless Kim wants to comment about the local LI, but... Plan Winnipeg policies are quite clear, as you understand, and development applications have to be consistent and aligned with the policies.
I have no concern with the applicant's recommendation one. I think that recommendation is fine unto itself. The local improvements are advertised on an individual basis. It's not an all or nothing thing. You know, the approval of the local improvements.
What do you mean by that?
Well, each local improvement, the water, the sewer, the land drainage, the pavement, the street lighting, the sidewalks, they're all individual projects.
Yeah, and I'm specifying here today, it's the water and sewer. We're doing the LI there. So with the wording he's given here, is I'm not using that wording. Okay.
So then we're just asking for the LI for the water and sewer?
Water and sewer.
And then all the other conditions in the ACG?
And the bulb.
All the other requirements in the ACG report?
Water. The LI is for the water and sewer, sanitary sewer, wastewater, and water line, clean drinking water.
LLDS.
So then all the other conditions in the ACG report remain the same?
Correct.
Just the removal of the LI for those two lots on Grassy?
Subject to the LI for sanitary sewer and water, which is going forward at the end of this month to advertise, and a bulb. So those two lots, and the bulb on Williamson without requirement of the roadway through. So the issue of the roadway through being deleted, yes.
Well, Councillor Thomas wasn't making a comment. My issue here is at some point, I mean, Grassy logically right now is four lanes up to the intersection along there, connects up to Plessy, which is also a four-lane road to the tracks, almost to the tracks there at the end of the Transcona subdivisions there. At some logical point, Grassy's going to be a four-lane street up to Plessy, and Plessy's going to be a four-lane street as well. So it seems a little illogical in my mind to not require the street to be, at least have the residents pay for one lane through local improvement going forward. So I'm a little challenged by this revision not to require concrete roadway. The applicant, in fact, was requesting, you know, the grassy lots be subject to full range municipal services. So I'm a little challenged in supporting something that's contrary to Plan Winnipeg, and I think contrary to good planning and transportation planning going forward here.
Well, Councillor, if I can, I believe the other terms and conditions of the ACG report that require the developer to install a full range of services in order to make those lots buildable are still in place.
No, that's actually
not for the two on grass.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I could just clarify, maybe I didn't spell it out for you, Carlos. So. Yeah. And I'm deleting the requirements of the sewer. Yeah, that's the understanding I have. So the motion is going to, the other part of the ACG report is deleting the requirement for the storm sewer and the pavement, concrete cement, right?
And that's the sidewalks.
And the sidewalk, right.
Ornamental lighting, whatever.
Right.
So then you're saying that the only requirement for local improvement then?
On Grassy
is just water main, and then you're deleting all the other requirements?
Right.
For any kind of...
Right, that's what I had in... Yes, that's
so,
right.
So it, regardless if it's an LI or not, any kind of requirement for a developer...
I'm saying that it's subject to... that the other requirements are deleted in terms of the ACG report, and it's LI subject to the road, to the water line and the sanitary line. That the road issue and the storm sewer issue would be deleted, as well as the sidewalk and all the other stuff. So, which I think would be picked up when the development proceeds further down the street. Those issues would have to be addressed. So,
okay. My other concern too is the one I raised earlier. No landholder along Grassy is going to want to be the one that has to pave entirely to have the roadway connection that loops back to Grassy Boulevard or where else. I don't know. It's further to the south there. I'm a little concerned that, you know, I'm comfortable with the notion of doing the bulb on the bulb today, but I'm just concerned that going forward there isn't really the provision to allow for that loop back at any point. So I'm going to vote for this today, but I'd like to work with the administration perhaps on some improvements before it gets to Property Development Committee. Again, I'm going to, I believe, you know, infill development is challenging. I think we are. I'm personally comfortable with the length of the new street and providing full range of services there. I'm going to go along with the amendments, but I'm not comfortable with them. I don't like them at this point, so I reserve the right to make further modifications at Standing Policy Committee. The motion has been heard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.